of thanksgiving. It is more of giving thanks to God, knowing that you know without a shadow of doubt that you are prayed up. So I will encourage us to keep praying. Pray in and out of season. You know, the Bible says, preach and be ready in and out of season. Be instant in and out of season. And this is one of the advices that are given to Timothy. Be instant in and out of season. That means there is a certain propensity that you must have. There's a certain predisposition of your heart that is continually aligned to God, and such that when trouble comes, it does not catch you by surprise. And God does not want us to be victims of circumstances, because we are not just survivors, but we are more than conquerors. So there's nothing that catches God by surprise. And if you are in tune with His Spirit, if you are in alignment to His Spirit, then likewise too, there is nothing that shall catch you by surprise, because the Bible tells us that God reveals His secrets. He reveals His plans to His servants, the prophets. Surely the sovereign Lord God does nothing without revealing His plan to His servants, the prophets. So the more you pray, the more you activate the prophetic gift in you. You know, prayer, reading of the Word of God activates the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. Then you can start to have dreams. God can start to reveal things. You can have to start have visions. You can start hearing the voice of God more clearly. Anytime you exercise your spirit, always be sensitive in your inner man to hear what is God speaking. And God is always very keen to speak. So the voice of God is not very far. It is just in another plane. It is just in another realm. It is just you to activate yourself. It is you to condition yourself. It is you to settle in. It is you to enter into prayer, enter into meditation, enter into study of the Word of God, and then you will access the voice of God. So we're in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, and today we are still in a few verses here, and today we'll look at this aspect of Paul, the calling of Paul, and by the grace of God, we'll have an understanding of the calling and also this aspect of ordination or being set. Now let's read. Maybe we'll just start again from the beginning. Verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, I exhort that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now, you have to understand that Paul, you know, would face so many challenges and so many contentions from people who would ask him by what authority he would preach, by what authority he had the ability to speak to them, to write all these letters. Remember, they will say, this man, that he, his bodily presence is weak, but his letters are weighty. They will always wonder the distinction in the man, because when he writes his letters, because Paul was given the gift of language, the gift to write, to give mysteries, he had the ability to release life through his letters. But the scriptures show us that his presence, when he will speak to people, he did not have bodily presence. That means he was not such of an eloquent speaker. And he says, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence of speech, but I came in the demonstration of the power, so that your faith does not rest on the wisdom of man, but that your faith rests on the power of God. So the gospel usually has two aspects. It has both the wisdom of God and the power of God. And Christ has become our wisdom and our power from God. So you must always expect that the gospel moves in two aspects. It will have the wisdom of God, because there is a wisdom that we speak to the mature. There is the truth of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, that we reveal Christ in you, the hope of glory, that God is actually resident in you. Christ is in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. He is with you and He is for you. Then also we see the demonstration of the power, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. And when it encounters oppression, when it encounters attacks from the devil, then the Spirit of God, activated by the Word of God, then is able to release life for you. And that's why we say spirit and life. So when the Spirit of God is there and the Word of God comes, what happens? There is creation. So you must always wait for the moving of the Spirit, and then you release the Word. Now, Paul was not one that struggled so much to express himself, but there are times where he needed to show us his calling. And why does he give us these words? He says, "For which I was appointed," if you look at King James, it says, "For which I was ordained a preacher and an apostle." Now, let's look at these titles of Paul. He says he knows that he was ordained, and that means he was set apart by God to do a specific work. Now, when he says he was ordained a preacher, the word there is like a herald. Now, if you think about the olden times, whenever a message was being sent by a king, he will send forth a herald ahead of the king to announce. Like, let's say a king is going in a chariot, then you will find someone is shouting, "Make way for the king, make way for the king." So they would be heralding, they will be proclaiming a message. So a preacher is a proclaimer of a message. Now, he knows that, he's saying that, "I was appointed a messenger. I'm a proclaimer, a preacher of the truth." What was the truth? The truth, he has shown us that God all wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And also the message is there is one God and one mediator between God and man. We looked at this yesterday, the man Christ Jesus, and he gave himself as a ransom for all. So that means there is a message of salvation that Paul has been preaching. He is heralding the truth. So when one is a preacher, a herald, you are actually proclaiming a message. You are more of like a witness of what God has done. And then also he says, "I am also an apostle." Now, who is an apostle? An apostle is a messenger. Now, there are marks of an apostle. The marks of an apostle, they would argue that this is someone who must have been with Jesus or have met Jesus. When you think about the 12 disciples, when Judas fell off, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, the apostles came together and they said that we need to choose among ourselves someone who has been with us from the time of the baptism of John up until when Jesus was taken away, and so that he can replace the bishopric of that was left behind by Judas, because the Bible says, "Let another take his seat." Now, they brought two men. They brought Justus and they brought Matthias, and they cast their votes. And then they chose Matthias, and Matthias replaced him. But you see, in God, God is not limited by how men choose. God still wanted to call another man who had not been with Jesus at that point. At that point when Jesus was on the earth, he was not with Jesus. And this is Paul. So what does God do? God meets him, finds this persecutor who is a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He had been taught in the strictest sects of the Pharisees. He had learned everything that he knew about the law. In fact, he says that when it comes to the law, "I considered myself that I was above reproach." Paul knew that he was perfect according to the law. But then, as he is going to persecute the Christians because they believe this is a breakaway from their tradition, from the laws of Moses, from the Mosaic law. So now, because they have broken away, so he wants to persecute them, and he gets letters. He gets letters from the chief priests. He takes them and he goes. He's on his way to Damascus. Now, as he goes to Damascus, then he encounters a bright light. And he says that bright light was brighter than the midday sun. It was midday, yes, but the bright light that shone over him was brighter than the midday sun. And when he looked back, he had a voice, and the voice told him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" He already knew that the person that is speaking to him is a Lord. And then he said, the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Then he is told, "Go into the city and you will be told what you must do." And he was asked, "Why? Don't you know it is hard to kick against the gods?" That means against thorns. Then he's told, "Go into the city, you'll be told what you must do." Now Paul accepts, but when he wakes up, when he tries to open his eyes after that encounter, his eyes are blind. He's blinded. So he has to be led into the city and he starts to pray. He prays for 3 days and he fasts for 3 days. And now God reaches out to Ananias and tells him, "I want you to go to Tarsus. I want you to go to this street. To the straight street. And when you go there, you're going to find a man called Saul. And you're going to pray for him to receive his eyes." And Ananias is like, but God, you know clearly that this man has been come on errand to kill the Jews." He said, "No, this man is my chosen vessel. And he will take the gospel. He will send my gospel to kings, to the children of Israel, and to Gentiles." So God had already declared that Paul, or that time he was called Saul, is his chosen vessel. That means from the beginning of time, there is always an ordination that God has prepared for each and every man. You and I, there is an ordination, there is an appointment that God has prepared for each and every one of us. And that is why the scriptures tell us that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, what that means is that God has placed the call of God, or there's an ordination over each and every man. If you read Psalms 139, it says, "Every day of my life was written in your book before a single one of them came to be." That means if we are to open the books of heaven, if God is to give us an opportunity to see what was written in the scrolls, you can see how Jesus says that, "I have come to do what was written for me in the volume of the book." You know, so I have come to do your will. There is a scroll that God has written for each and every human being. Now, this scroll determines the things that God has envisioned that you're going to do in your lifetime if you walk in alignment with Him. Every single day of your life was written in your book. Now, there are people who God has called to just be teachers, and yet they are drivers. There are people who God has called to be pastors, yet they are businessmen. There are people who are businessmen, yet they are doing pastoring. Now, it is possible that you can be living outside of the calling that God called you to do. And which is sad, because when you go to the books of heaven, where your destiny is written, you are outside of alignment. In fact, you've not even started living. Why? Because there is so much that God has accomplished, or God has wanted you to do in your life. Now, unless you submit yourself to pray and to understand the will of God over your life, you can be living in error, and what you do, you are wasting your time. Now, when you discover your purpose, like now you can see how Paul, yes, he was zealous for the law. He had a desire to understand the law. He was trained as a Pharisee. But you see, God had appointed him. God had called him. In fact, he says, if you look at Galatians 1 from verse 15 onwards, he says, "God who set me apart from my mother's womb and set me apart to be an apostle." So there was a calling that was on Paul to be an apostle. And then he also says that he feels that he was the one that was born out of due time. That means that, yes, he's an apostle, but he was not born at the time when Jesus walked on the earth. In fact, he wishes that he was born at that time. But you see, the plans of God are to show us that there are things that are not time bound. The callings of God are not time bound. That means that we might feel like we're out of time in our own understanding, but the moment that we bring ourselves in alignment to the will of God, then God is able to fast track our progress. God is able to bring us into alignment and to bring us unto speed. And when you're brought unto speed, then you are able to move faster than even when you had started where you were previously. So the most important thing is to actually understand, what is it that God appointed you? What is it that God ordained you to be? Now, this is the very important place of being called of God. Now, as I said, it is one thing to be called. It's another thing to be set. Now, you can think about Jeremiah, and when the call of God happens to Jeremiah, maybe we can quickly jump there and then we'll come back. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." Now, there was something that God told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a child, or rather he was young. He felt that he was a child. But the word of the Lord came to him and said, before I formed you in the womb, that means before you were even thought of by your parents, I knew you. And that is a word to everyone, that God knew us even before we were formed. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. That means I separated you for myself, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, this is where you are called. This is the calling that God has placed. Then, verse 6, what does he say? Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." And then verse 8 is told, "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Verse 9, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Look at how God does. When you bring in a concern, he addresses it. When you say that you are young, he says, "Look here, don't say that you are young." But when he said that he doesn't know what to speak, what does God do? God touches his mouth. That means that whenever God has called you to do something, he empowers you. He releases a certain grace over your life that enables you to circumvent that thing that you think is a weakness. Now, when God circumvents that, then he enables you. And he says, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." That which that God has called you and appointed you to do, he is well and able to enable you to do it. God is the one that calls. He is also the one that empowers. But now there's something that I want you to see here. Verse 10, he says, "See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So there is the calling where he said, "I called you, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations." And then there is the day when one is set. That's why he said, "Behold, see, this day I have set you." So that means if you are called, yes, you understand that God has called you, which is right, yes. And God has called many people. But you see, there is also a day that you are going to be set. Now, there is always a gap between the calling and the setting, between the ordination and the setting. Think about David. David, he's a 16, 17-year-old boy. He has he's just taking care of his father's sheep. Saul has misbehaved. Then God says, "I have found a man after my own heart who will do everything that I've commanded to." And he commands Prophet Samuel to go and ordain and anoint David. He finds David. The father has forgotten him. He has brought all his seven brothers. Then he remembers David. Then Samuel says, "We will not sit until he comes." David comes, and the Bible says he's anointed in the midst of his brothers, And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But where does David go? He does not go straight into the palace. No. He goes back to take care of his father's sheep. And when he goes, then still from there, they remember him. They need someone who can play music. Then someone says, I know of a certain son of Jesse who is good with the sword, who is a strong fighter, who is a courageous man, but who also plays the harp well. We can ask him to come, and when he plays for you, then you're going to have relief, because at that time Saul is tormented by an evil spirit. Now, David goes through a process of almost 13 years serving under King Saul, running away from King Saul, being chased, going to the Philistines, all this fighting Goliath, all this process, until the day when he's 30 or 33 years old, when he is appointed to be king. And even when he's king, he's not given the entire kingdom. He's first given two kingdoms, or rather two nations, two of the tribes. And then later on, when he's after 7 years, he gets the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, there's a difference between the calling, the ordination, and there's a difference between the day that you are set. Now, Paul understood that. Look here. I was called. I was ordained a preacher. I was ordained a herald. I was ordained an apostle. And then he says that now I have been set. So he knows that he is now set over these churches. And that is why he considers himself an overseer. He is seeing them. He says, I'm an apostle to you. Even though I'm not an apostle to others, I surely am an apostle to you. Because the works of an apostle are evident among you. You are the evidence of it. So when someone is an apostle, they have certain signs. That means, one, they are master builders. He says, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundations of the gospel. The church is built on the foundations of the prophets and the apostles. That means the apostles are actually wise master builders. That means wisdom is wrought in their DNA. There is a certain wisdom that enables them to build structures from the bottom to the end. You know, they can go to a new place and they can establish things. They can establish a new work of God. So apostles are sent with messages, but they go to establish a new work of God in territories that are beyond them. Now, Paul understands his calling, and he says, it is by the grace of Jesus that I was appointed to be a preacher and a herald. Preacher and a teacher. And I love what he says. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. He says, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Paul understood that he had a calling. He had a calling. Yes, he will preach to the children of Israel. But also Jesus told him, they will not accept your message. Run away. The greatest persecution that Paul faces is actually from his own people. And at times you'll wonder, your own people don't receive you, but people outside receive you. Jesus faced the same, and he said, well, a prophet has no honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives. So your calling is not determined by those in your environment. In fact, those ones come later to acknowledge you after the outside people have affirmed you. That should not bother you. But you see, your first validation must be from God. And that is why he's very keen to know it is God that appointed. It is he's appointed in Christ. Your greatest validation must not come from men. It must not come from social media or from the numbers of followers or people who are after you. Your greatest validation does not come from your boss, but it comes from Christ saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You are fulfilling that which I put you on the earth to do. And because you are fulfilling it and you have been faithful, be it in the little or be it in the much, whichever that word God has given you, has he counted you faithful? And when God finds you faithful, faithful with the gifts that he has given you, faithful with the talents he has given you, faithful with the time he has given you, faithful with the relationships he has given you, faithful with the wisdom, the different things that God has made in your makeup, God expects you to be faithful. And if you're faithful in it, you will get the reward. The reward is, well done, good and faithful servant. Paul also says that he knows that he is a teacher of the Gentiles. So he calls himself a preacher. He calls himself an apostle. He calls himself a teacher. He also In other places, you will see he calls himself a bond servant of Jesus Christ. And that is a heavy word. That is a word that means that, yes, you are a slave, but you are a slave that has loved the master so much, and you're willing to continue being a slave even though you have been set free. That means he has freedom in Christ, but yet he has submitted himself to serve, to be a servant of Christ. When he says, I'm a bond servant of Christ. Paul also calls himself, I'm a prisoner of Christ. When he's writing to Philemon, he says, I'm a prisoner of Christ. That means he has understood, not even really understood, he was actually writing from prison because he was sending Onesimus. And he you're sending Onesimus to Philemon. But he understands that he has suffered for the sake of the gospel. He's not only an apostle, he is a teacher, he is a preacher, he is a bond servant. But most important, he knows that he is called of God. You must know who called you, what you're doing today. What is the backing that you have for it? What is the background you have for the job that you're doing, for what you're doing in your life? Are you sure that it is God that called you into it? And if you know that God called you into it, continue. Do it with the zeal of God. Do it with the passion that God has given you. Do it to the best ability that God will give you. And at the end of the day, there the same reward is given to everyone that is faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. May we be faithful to what God has called us. May we be faithful in the call, and also until the day when God also sets us over territories, over appointments, over a place of work, may we also be faithful to do that. I'll stop here. I pray that God will give us insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel, for that great command. Indeed, it's important to realize our calling and to divide. No additions from my side, please.
No, okay. Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. Thank you for this morning that you've given us a time to just be at your feet, to listen to your word. And that, Lord, you've called us. Indeed, we might not understand it. Others might not understand it. But, Lord, you're a God that is able to bring revelations. You're able to bring understanding. And that wisdom is able to just dawn on us of what you have called us to do. And I thank you for everyone that you have called to serve you, everyone that you have given the grace, that, Lord, may they stay faithful in their places of assignment. And indeed, even he that does not know your will, the Lord, may they know it. I pray for your hand to be upon everyone that is in alignment. The Lord, your grace, your power, your encouragement shall be with them. Bless them, increase them. May your hand of power and blessing be upon each and every one of us. Protect us, preserve us, watch of our homes, watch of our families, watch of our children. Be a shield, be a guide, and protect and keep us. We honor you, we exalt you, and we lift up your holy name. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom.
Amen.
Bless us.